Okay, we'll go ahead and call the common council meeting to order. It is 7:08 on March 25th. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigold.
Here.
Lori.
Here.
Romine absent. Penrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on March 4th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Sergeant.
Okay, motion by Jackie, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Next up is the compliance with statement of benefits.
He called late this afternoon and wants to postpone it until he had a commitment he had to do.
Okay, so we will postpone that again. Next up is ordinance 2014-4. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Real tentative today, obviously. Motion by Nicole, seconded by Bill. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2014-4 by title only.
Ordinance 2014-4, an ordinance enacting and adopting a supplement to the Code of Ordinances for the City of Columbia City and declaring an emergency.
This is our annual update to the Code of Ordinances book. And we've gotten into a pattern where this happens every year. So how long does it usually take to get those updated on, like, the website?
It should be done, right, Terry?
What's that?
Our code.
For them to do it or for us to do ours? Ours, are when we do updates on ours, we do it immediately whenever she gives them to me, but...
Yeah,
I'm
they
sure
should have theirs updated.
Soon they do theirs.
Okay. Okay. So this basically is formally adopting the new code book.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Any questions or concerns? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2014-4 on an emergency basis?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jackie, because I heard her first. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Thank you. Okay, next up is the GIS coordinator job description. Jeffrey.
Earlier this evening, I reported to the Board of Works that Brad Smith, our coordinator, has taken a job in the private sector, accepted a job in the private sector. Will be leaving us the middle of April, and I was given permission by the board to advertise for a replacement. Along with that is just some minor updates to the existing job description that needs to be approved by the council tonight. Also worked with Sean Leckie on this. We have more specific itemized, standard tasks that would also be used in this job, but as far as the overall job description, the modifications are before you for consideration tonight.
So the changes to the existing ordinance are just the ones that are penciled in?
Yeah.
Good question.
You're having like
including the development of city maps.
Charges.
There's been a question under the job responsibilities on the second line where it says including the development of city maps, charges, and signs.
Yeah, what?
We charge for signs.
Is that? Oh, okay. Well, I wondered. I just wondered. I was looking at that and I'm like, I wasn't sure what that meant.
I would imagine it was charts. Wouldn't you think it would be charts?
I thought, well, maybe misspelled change or something, but change and maps, change, but then that didn't make sense either.
We do charge for the maps.
Right.
And, I mean, I think they have, what's his face that used to be there?
Mike. Is that what they were referring
Mike
to?
Used to tell me how much to charge for them because of the cost of the big printers and
sure
the paper. And so I left it up to him to tell me how much to charge.
Okay.
So that might have been where that came from.
Okay, because I know we had to have an ordinance in place for our fees.
And we do.
Okay.
Yeah, but I usually have him tell me what to charge.
Okay. Well, I was just, I don't know, the way that was worded, I was
wondering. I would defer. I think you're probably right.
Yeah, because those are about the only big maps that, are, that
yeah
we charge for.
The large format.
Right.
Bill?
It made more sense to me for it to be charts than charges in that sentence.
I can change it to charts if you want me to.
Well, there are some things out there as far as what you're allowed to charge for, too, through some of the state statutes now
right
as well. So that's why I was, another thing I was curious is, well, how that was worded, I was just a little confused.
I'm not sure what the signs mean, but.
That's the only thing I had. And also, collection data from county engineer. You might, one of the things I was looking at, you might want to look, broaden that a little bit. Even include the county GIS system because if you specifically say county engineer, that's, I don't know. I'm just thinking if it was a little broader.
So engineer's office?
Well, I see you got, it's, I don't know, when you start labeling individual offices, you could almost cover it
so
all.
So if you just
county
said
engineer
county offices.
Yeah, county offices. I know I'm nitpicking a little bit, but if you're, I don't want to see it, just, you know, one or two offices. I mean, it's, I know it's kind of a
deadline.
Okay.
Deadline.
Yeah, I'm certainly open to minor changes, but that's the reason, Dan, that I indicated that collectively between Sean and Brad and myself, we have a supplemental bulleted task assignment, for lack of a better term, because it delves into the more operational stuff in that supplement, and we're kind of confined with this format for our existing job descriptions, which Sean and I don't really like, but we're willing to live with. So, you know, we have to kind of keep it on a broad range here. But yeah, I'm certainly open to you know some changes like that. Isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know it's nitpicking a little bit.
I don't disagree with you though. I mean, you might as well put collects data from county offices. I'm perfectly fine with that change. I think that makes sense. Instead of being more specific, be more broad. Again, this is more of a guideline than anything else. You're right. So, and I will say the whole reason why we're kind of taking a look at this is because of the progress that Brad has made in this department.
Absolutely.
I mean, head and shoulders above what we expected, and we put up a little fight to try to keep him here, and just couldn't get it to work out. But very proud of the work that he's done in this regard. So,
I will also say, Mayor, that this is going to continue to be a dynamic job description.
Sure.
It'll continue to evolve
sure
and change as our program grows. So what you see here very probably will not be like this a year from now.
Right. Under page 2, under the knowledge, skills, and abilities, I agree with the proficiency instead of familiarity. I think proficiency is a much better word because of where we've gone. The HTML coding, can you describe that a little bit more since that's an add-on?
That's for basically for taking data and applying it to the GIS format.
Okay.
The software we use, the GoSync software we use, you have to do some coding to get it, get the information to show up how you want it to look on the map, basically. Okay. Basically, it's just taking information and putting it on the map.
Okay.
One of the things I'm wondering about, just to throw out there, it says supplemental, or it's under qualifications on 3 or 4, where it says minimum of 4 years in developing, programming, and mainlining automated GIS using ESRI application software. You know, Brad didn't have any of that when he started. And I think if you're looking at a pay scale there that might be out of our range of pay.
Yep.
With that type of an experience, quite honestly.
That's very fair.
Well, it doesn't just say that it says, I think it's saying they don't have to have a bachelor's degree if they have a combination of degrees, certifications, and all that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't want us to get caught up when it says supplemented by a minimum of 4 years experience. Obviously, we want experienced people into that position, but I'm concerned about, you know, with that type of a background, if we can afford to pay that.
Well, and to that point, I will say I know that there will be a push next time we have a salary ordinance to really consider that position, because you're absolutely right with the technology and the abilities of whoever that ends up being. There probably will need to be a strong consideration of shifting that that range higher because of the skills and abilities that are basically mandated or needed for this position. So I will agree with you, and I think these gentlemen would also agree with you in regards to that, with the understanding that as that next pay scale ordinance comes in front of you, there probably will be a change there.
That was only my concern with that. That's a great qualification, but
yeah, and I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think you know, as you look at that, there certainly is a very high bar that we're setting there. It's a high bar that we're setting there. But again, though, was some of this, and I don't remember what the last job description looked like, but was this on there, or was that added by Brad? Or added through the conglomeration of the three of you?
The only updates in the last, since 2012, are penciled in.
Okay.
And Brad did meet these. It says in here that you have a bachelor's degree or a supplement of 4 years' experience of degrees and certificates. So in lieu of your bachelor's degree, that's where the 4 years' experience comes in. So you could go straight out of high school and do this for 4 years, and that would count.
And I think at the same time, we don't want to set the bar too low either, though, because quite honestly, we don't want to have to back up 2 years and start them all over from scratch. So I certainly see both sides in that regard.
And when I talked to Brad, too, the certification requirements we've got under their GIS professional certification, and he indicated that we will eventually want to engage somebody with that level of professional certification. Said maybe not this time, but
is Brad certified?
No.
Okay.
No, and we've had numerous debates about that, as well as who's really offering that certification, and what worth it does it have. You know, we've been arguing within our own little GIS world as to, you know, it's just some company out there that says, oh yeah, you're qualified, you could be grandfathered in, boom, you're a GISP, GIS professional. And it's like, do you just send them $150 and they give it that to you?
Is that how you become an ordained minister in the Church of the Solar, whatever?
Yeah. So, you know, we've had some discussion, but you're right, the GISP is a valid point to, you know, work towards if it's truly what it's supposed to mean.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what Jeff is looking for from this body is an approval to make those additions and changes to the job description. Certainly, I would hope that we would change the date revised as well at the bottom of the page.
Yeah, when I change these, I always update them.
That's when you do it. Okay. Yeah.
Do you want consensus or formal vote?
I think we need a formal vote for this matter.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we approve the changes to the job description for the GIS coordinator as presented.
Okay, I do have one little thing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Your motion is still okay.
Okay.
On page 2, 3, and 4, it says GIS technician rather than GIS coordinator.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. No. Coordinator is correct.
Okay.
I agree with coordinator. I just want to make sure that, unless you guys want it to be technician, I think it needs to stay coordinator, though.
The other thing I was just pointing out to Sean is that the original date adopted was 95. That's really a misnomer because the draftsman position was adopted in 95. This current GIS coordinator was adopted in 12.
I see.
I don't know if I'm nitpicking.
Okay. So getting back to my original question, though, coordinator okay, or do you want it to be technician?
I'd be hard-pressed to tell you the difference.
Okay. Coordinator it is. I just want to make sure that the last three pages are coordinator and not technician. So.
And it needs to be addressed that way in our salary ordinance.
Indeed. I agree. Yep. Okay. Thank you. Nicole motions. Dan seconds. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Okay. Next up is department head reports. Mike Cook, we'll start with you.
Like I mentioned before he left and the other board members, I'm still working on tractor quotes. So hopefully at the next board meeting I'll bring those back. I've got one quote back. I want to get a couple more. On the 10th, 11th this month, IDEM was in and done inspections. He was in one day and went through reports, and they went through pre-treatment, they went through our lab, they went through maintenance. They went through all our records and files and came back on the 11th and done a walkthrough of the facility. And I sat down and talked with the inspector that day and thought everything was fine. And, you know, there was a few things that, you know, weren't problems, nothing major. But when I got the report back, it was came back as a marginal and stated in there that we neglected to do several things. And, that really upset me, so I requested him to come back in and show me what we did not do that made it marginal. So I met with him again on the 21st, and I figured it was a misunderstanding, and it was. He went through a report. In certain places on the reports, there's blanks, and he didn't bother to look in the comments section to okay. find out why. So, but he came back through and he looked with that, and then I talked with Kelly. So our marginal inspection is now a satisfactory inspection. I have the email, and then the mayor is also copied on that too. Mm-hmm. So we do have a satisfactory inspection this past time. UV system bulbs will go in tomorrow and start up for a trial run before they have to be in operation April 1st. Pre-treatment report has been signed and mailed off to IDEM. We have to do that every year. It's about a 3-inch thick report.
It's very large.
And Alton takes care of all that and puts that together and submits that. And yesterday we had the opportunity to basically a kickoff meeting with United Consultants to start addressing the new long-term control plan. And put together some information yesterday afternoon. I worked on and then worked on today and got that to the Jets this evening, and he took that back with him.
Do we have an agreement with them yet?
No, that's what this scoping meeting was all
oh,
about.
Oh, it's a scoping
and
meeting. Okay.
Jets is probably going to touch
okay.
on the rest of it here in just a second.
I should have went the other way. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. They're just, but that's basically, and to use Mark's word, everybody's I'm excited about that to move forward with that project. And
amen. So am I. Good?
Oh, yeah, I'm, unless you have any questions.
Questions to Mike Cook. Thank you, Mike. Terry.
Sean and I met with Spectrum Engineering last week on the fiber project, and they sent us the paperwork, and Marshall's gone over it and made a few changes, and they're ready to send the bids out. And their tentative schedule for that is they believe if they get the bids out here in a couple days, they'll have them back by April 25th. If we do award a contract, they think that will happen around May 8th. June 2nd would be a tentative start date, and they think the project would be done by July 11th.
July 11th, okay.
So we're working towards that. I'll be sending them an email tomorrow. Dispatch products will be in dispatch tomorrow, putting in a new radio console furniture at dispatch 3 location. That was part of our capital improvements for this year. And they will also be doing rearranging some furniture and stuff in the deputy clerk's office. That's all I have.
Questions of Terry? Thank you, Terry. Excited, Mark?
Baseball and softball registration is over. Baseball has already picked their teams, and softball will be picking their teams tomorrow night with the big draft at the park. It's always exciting to see how that turns out. Numbers seem to be a little up over last year, which is surprising. I keep waiting for us to follow the trend of several communities that numbers go down for baseball and softball. But I was worried early on, but it's great that we have exceeded last year. So that's encouraging. Clinics, the baseball and softball committees have held clinics on Sundays the last few weeks, and they've gone over really well. Had a lot of help from, obviously, the board's baseball and softball committees, and also coaches and past players. So went over great, and I appreciate all their help putting those on, because it was a really neat event for the kids. They really enjoyed it. A lot of positive feedback from it. A new event, I guess, that's going on at the park, the DNR is placing 200 trout in the back pond at Morsha's Park. Mm-hmm. That's going to be on April 18th. And so then, I guess the average size of those trout's 12 inches. And then on the 19th, they're having a free fishing derby on April 19th. It does not require a fishing license at all.
Seems kind of counterproductive.
Hey.
Show up on the 18th.
I agree. So show up on the 18th.
Sorry.
Show you what. You can keep them. From what I understand, they're only going to live a couple months in there because of the temperature of the water. And I'm not. I don't know exactly why their DNR is doing this, but they asked if we mind if we did it. I said, sure, it's fine. So.
Can they get there?
They'll be able to move that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Seems like you can save a lot of time selling fish.
I love Bill's idea.
What's that?
We're going to sell fish. Sorry, I apologize.
All right. NDOT's moving along on the US 30 bridge. There's a lot going on down there. Which kind of ties into the fishing derby. They're going to be doing that in the afternoon on Saturday, so they should be able to get back there. Hopefully they can work around NDOT's schedule. Starting to get ready for the concession stand with this weather going, and they're getting better, and softball starting soon for the high school. Batting cages have been put up and they're already being used, so if anybody wants to practice, they're available. Of course, I know the baseball team used them yesterday, and probably the softball team will start using them as well. We still cannot open our bathrooms due to the cold weather. Hopefully that'll change soon if the weather does actually get warmer. And then met with the gardeners, the master gardeners. They're getting ready for start working on their gardens this spring. We're having a kickoff for them. I'm having a kickoff for them on April 22nd at the pavilion, just to get everybody together and talk about summer. And if you haven't noticed already, part of the greenway is falling in, just with erosion.
Badly.
Kind of falling in right up next to the greenway. So it's caution taped off, and I'm getting a quote from Niblock. I still don't have that in my hand yet. And then I also have to fill out a permit to DNR since it's along the river. So I don't know how long that process will take to get it fixed, but we're aware of it. And
want to give you a forewarning about that. That's important because we're talking pretty extensive cave-in, if you will. I don't believe it's undercutting yet, but it's darn close if it's not. And I'm going to give you a forewarning about that because it probably is going to be a pretty pricey fix. We need to do it soon because there are, I'm going to say, 5 trees that are hanging in the river right now. So as we approach flooding season, those could very well travel down the river, hit bridges, hit culverts, hit whatever. So so with that being the case, I appreciate Mark bringing that up because it will be a pricey fix, and I probably will have to come back to you to ask for an additional appropriation from somewhere.
Where is it out on the trail?
If you go from the fire museum toward the Y, it's what, maybe
a few hundred feet to down past the bathrooms there. Maybe 500 feet.
Yeah.
Is it, would it be, after you remove the trees, would it be cheaper to reroute?
We talked about that. We did talk about that. This is probably a personal preference more than anything else. This will probably begin, this will probably be the start of multiple areas that we're going to need to stabilize the bank. And if you, obviously, if you go to the back of Morsha's Park, or even really along the whole drive of Morsha's Park, as you well know, there are areas that are undercutting. There are areas that are very right to the edge. I wouldn't park my car on that side of the road, which would be the west side of the road. But there are people that do, I think, quite honestly, risk their vehicle in that regard. But despite the no parking signs, by the way, that are up there. Philosophically speaking, I think we need to stabilize the bank here because I think it's going to keep eroding where it's at. So even if we move the trail, let's say, what do you think, 300 feet back from where it is and make it curve? Or
it wouldn't have to be that much.
Right. But the point is, I think we're still going to have to address the issue no matter what. So instead of throwing $20,000 or whatever, it may not be that much, but 20, whatever it is to reroute that, I would, preferentially speaking, I'd like to put the money towards stabilizing the bank instead. That's my personal preference. But I would invite you all to go out and take a look at what that is, preferably before the next meeting if you can. I know it's cold, but it's going to get a little warmer, hopefully. So, but it is a big problem. It's a big problem. So, again, it's a preference. So, if you all override me, that's perfectly fine. But that's what I've asked Mark to do.
There's several trees in the river. I mean, they're not big trees, but just a bunch of small trees. You can't miss it.
Yeah.
Probably 100 feet long.
Across the whole river.
Yeah.
Is that all?
That's it.
That's how you're going to end your report.
We're excited about that. We're
excited. No, you talked about that a little bit. Yeah, it's getting close.
We're excited to end our report.
They're excited that I'm done.
Okay, questions of Mark. Thank you, Mark. Tim.
We're making headway in our hiring process for the new officer. We've done the written test, the physical agility. From there, we narrowed the field to 6 applicants. And those 6 were interviewed by members of the command staff on Thursday. After that, the field was narrowed to 3. And so those 3 will now begin background investigations. And then they will be interviewed by the Board of Works. It may be 4 or 5 weeks down the road yet, but that
probably
will happen
may.
Eventually. And then we will pick 1 after the Board of Works interview. So that should be maybe the first week of May. The captain and I met with members from State Police, Sheriff's Department, and some school officials to plan a active shooter training/demonstration that will be at Indian Springs in June. So we're going to work on getting that locked in. It's going to be a scenario-based training. Next 2 days, we're having training here in City Hall. We're training with our new simunition weapons. So that's going on as we speak in the basement. We will repair any damages that we make down there. The new police vehicles are all in. They're in Pearson, still waiting for the equipment. Some of the equipment is on back order. I really don't know when those are going to be on the road. I'm hoping that it's pretty soon. Last week we had a demo from Spillman, a company that provides CAD. It was a real good demo, so there will be more to come from the CAD committee. Down the road, we have another meeting scheduled to sit down and discuss our thoughts after the demonstrations from the 2 companies.
And who sits on that committee, Tim? Put you to a test, I'm sorry.
Matt Manier, Terry, myself, Ben Romine, Walt Crowder,
Missing anybody?
Amy.
And Amy LaRue?
And Gina.
Gina? Go ahead, Terry.
Tom.
There were so many missing from the last meeting. I just know of, you know, there were a few of us that were present. There were a lot of us that weren't there. We're getting a new recording system that's going to be put in our interview room. The system we have in there now, we've had a few audio difficulties. It's very important that that room is functional. So we have a new system that will be coming in that room soon. The great thing is this system is purchased by the prosecutor's office. So it'll be a double DVR system, automatic backup. All the officer has to do is just walk in the interview room and everything turns on automatically and will be backed up automatically as well, so they can use that for court purposes and trials, things like that. But it's going to be a nice system once we get it installed and up and running. That's all I've got.
Questions of Tim?
No, just a comment. We asked Captain Highway to come up to our softball retreat and give a little presentation, and he did an outstanding job. I was very impressed. I was excited, riveted to the talk myself. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it, and I know he talked to 24 high school girls about teamwork and what it means to be a group, you know, trying to accomplish a goal. So he did a great job of that. I really appreciate him coming up there.
Cool.
I'll pass it on to him. Thanks.
Very good. Other questions or comments of Tim? Thank you, Tim. Jeffrey.
The five comprehensive plan proposals have been individually scored by the reviewers, and the two finalists will be interviewed tomorrow afternoon. And I continue to work with Ross at Region 3A on what his requirements are for paperwork on that. As Mike had indicated, we had the scoping meeting with United Consulting, and back at the prior to the approval of our long-term control plan, IDEM required of us, part of their overall approach is that we have to use make maximum utilization of our collection system, our sewer collection system. To understand that, we had to have a company come in and do flow monitoring for us. And they set flow meters in different manholes throughout the combined sewer service area. And so now, along with the reports that Mike has provided United, they'll be looking at also how our modeling has changed since then, and apply that so that we can then understand where we need to move to going forward. Also provided him with the Southside sewer information, because that too will be coming out of the combined system. At that point, what he's hopeful of is that, and that's why we have this scope that will be generated, and once it is generated, a proposed agreement will come back with fees to the Board of Works for approval. As a matter of fact, just a little while ago, United sent their standard terms to me, and I forwarded that on to legal counsel for review. But as the committee will remember, back when we interviewed these firms, the one area that we really thought was a unique approach from this firm, the selected firm, was looking at the use attainability analysis. And by that, right now our long-term control plan requirement is that we have to, at the conclusion of this, when we've met all the requirements to IDEM, that we have to capture a 1-hour, 10-year storm. As it stands right now, the initial part of that was capturing a 1-hour, 1-year storm, so significantly less. What United's hopeful of is that we can demonstrate that it would be a financial burden on our ratepayers to try to get to that level of the 1-year to 10-year, the 1-hour to 10-year storm. But to do that, we have to have the justification and the backup. So that's, this lays the foundation for that understanding. And should be in the next few weeks have a proposal put together to bring to the board.
So, and that's, and just for the record, I believe that's hardship, financial hardship, based on their standards.
That's correct.
Not based on IDEM standards, not based on we think they're paying a lot, which, by the way, they are.
Yeah.
So
that's where that stands. Earlier this evening, the Board of Works awarded the Southside Storm Project to Ironclad Excavating, and I contacted GAI, and they are preparing the contract now. Tomorrow morning. so that we can, at this point, Ironclad will have to provide the paperwork back. We'll give them notice to proceed and be on our way finally with that project. And I don't want to steal it from Mark, but I am excited because this is the biggest separation project that we've had. So I think that it goes a long way in demonstrating to the public here that their stormwater fees are going for something that isn't a positive. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely going to help Mike at the treatment plant. The 205 project, we just got the paperwork back today for the, it'll be the third from the last acquisition. The libraries is in process, and we're still working on one, negotiating on that. So we've got just about all the permits back for that project. The stage three submittals of the drawings have been presented to NDOT for review. This is the last submittal and revision prior to joint getting them blessed for construction. So we're there, folks. I mean, we're really, really close.
Real close. We're getting there.
Yeah. We're
it's been a long slog.
Last but not least, the Redevelopment Commission had asked me to start working on specifications for the demolition of the former Eagles Lodge, and I'm currently working with contractors in the community, as well as Lori Shipman and Greg Hockmeyer, the RDC legal counsel, on that. So hopefully we can get that moving forward in April as well.
Okay.
That's all I've got this evening.
Questions of Jeff? Bill, you look awful perplexed down there.
I was going to ask him to recite what the five long-term plan summaries were, but I thought I'd wait for a different day.
Okay. Thank you. Sean?
Well, we finished up our installing the temporary disconnect switches out at the park by the bridge. They have a few, there are a few sections of the process. They need those lines, overhead lines, dead and grounded, so we had to install some switches to kind of kill that area. So we're ready to go there now, so whenever they're ready, we can kill that for them. We did finally get our primary underground in north of town at a signal service out there. Kind of tough in this weather, but they muttered in, and it wasn't easy, but they got it done. There was a customer waiting for power there. It's been waiting for about 2 months, so for a construction project. We continued doing our mapping, collecting GIS data, and Brad's put that on the maps for us before he leaves. We did install the service for the fire department's project house today. That's going to turn out to be a little costly for us. We struck a cable and phone line there today. but the fees will make up for it. We got approved to purchase a Kubota skid loader and a trailer by the Board of Works earlier this evening, so we're happy, excited to keep our business local, and we've never purchased anything that major of a purchase from the Kubota Moore Farm Store, but we're happy to be working with them. We did start trimming trees for the city of South Whitley, town of South Whitley, sorry, just due to the population. in accordance to the new contract, which we're still apparently working on, but it needs done, and it's going to cost us more money to not trim them because we'd be up there with outages and such and cost them a lot more money. So we're trimming in South Whitley. We just have generally one or two guys up there doing that down there. And I did finally meet with a representative for the Catholic Church's project.
Oh, really? Good.
The communication hasn't been real good, so I finally went direct with Whetstone Electric. We kind of discussed our plan, and I kind of engineered a project route for them, and I think we're set to go for that when they get ready. And if anybody has any questions, that's all I have.
Questions of Sean. Thank you, Sean. Mike?
We installed a little over 1,100 feet of 12-inch pipe in Eagle Glen last week and replaced a meter pit on Park Street that had collapsed. And then Peerless Midwest came last Friday and pulled high service pump number 3 to rebuild it and everything. Needs done on it. It's been about 7-8 years before that's been done. And there's another letter floating around to some houses in town about the insurance thing on the water line. We've had a couple dozen calls at the water plant. I really wouldn't, if it was me, I wouldn't be interested in it. I don't know why this town gets picked on this. It might be happening about every year. And then the other thing I got is, you know, sometimes if an issue comes up, maybe department heads can talk to each department head before it goes someplace else and works things out. Some days I feel like I'm in grade school.
Okay. Thank you. Nicole, if maybe we can work on something regarding the water line protection, whatever, just to kind of clarify that that's obviously not something the city water department is sending out, but
can
instead it's...
That letter? I don't think we've got
yeah.
Okay.
And if I can find 5 seconds, I'll type something out for Facebook and stuff, Terry, but we'll see what we can do. But that may be something that we can address. Okay. Thank you. Kelly?
We're just continuing to try to stay up on the potholes and have crews watching that, monitoring search streets on that. They seem to keep popping up. Had the sweeper out last week for the first time of the year. We broke it out and trying to make one initial pass through town, and we'll keep it out, just trying to get some of the material picked up along the edge of the road before it gets in the catch basins and things like that. Community Corrections is helping sweep off the curb face sidewalks down Lime Street and various other streets in town, and contact work with Thor, and then we run a sweeper down there and get the material picked up right away as soon as they sweep it off. It's helping out a lot. I was contacted by the state. They were doing some crack sealing on Main Street from 30 to North Street, and they had a excess amount of sand laying around that they put on their crack seal. They want to know if we would go down and clean it up for them. And I was doing that today. I had the sweeper out, and we noticed they were putting salt down. So we backed off after we picked up all their salt and took it back to the shop and dumped.
Put it back in our pile. Okay.
Just kidding. Actually, Monday, though, we did receive our salt order. I ordered February the 3rd, and we just received it.
They got near full too, by the way.
It's kind of a scary situation if we were to continue to have snow events or ice or whatever pop up. Luckily we didn't. We got through it and we stockpiled back in. So, continuing to do inspections on sanitary sewer installation out at Lincoln Point and Cambridge Crossing. Next week, start cleaning the cemetery, going through all that, doing repair work, cleaning up everything around there for spring cleanup. Mayor and I was in a meeting today, and and NDOT just going over various paving projects that they're doing and how that's going to affect the city and the timelines and things like that. The mayor will probably hit on that a little bit when it's his turn. And we're just fixing a few signs that were hit during the winter and trying to bring those back up. That's all I have.
Questions of Kelly? Okay. I'd like to thank Kelly's guys for putting my mailbox back on. Tom?
That was a wet, heavy snow.
It was a wet, heavy snow. You're right. You're right. No, I don't blame our guys. I just thank them for putting it back on.
The street department hit your mailbox?
They didn't hit it. The snow blew it off.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any conclusive evidence. It just landed in the middle of my driveway. So, Tom?
I'm excited and encouraged to have finally got to this point in the meeting. This time of year, there must be a lot of building getting ready to happen. We're getting a lot of questions in reference to codes and how things are set up and what people need to do in relationship to new buildings. So it is very encouraging for our city that we're getting these phone calls from people. One thing that I was kind of directed by the mayor to look at, and we've taken to the building department, is the Tapworth building situation. That has been addressed with the building department, and they are in the process of sending some letters and notifications out. So hopefully we'll see something done with that in the near future. The Knox boxes in our trucks, and you've heard me talk about the Knox box ordinance I'm working with Marsha on, and Marsha, I apologize, last week we had a death in the family, and I just didn't really get around to it addressing that. She has the ordinance, we've reviewed it between the two of us. We are ready to present a Knox box ordinance to the council that you'll probably get at the next meeting. With that being said, the Knox boxes we have in our trucks that we've had for 20 years, one of them developed a problem. We got to researching Knox boxes and talking to the company. They had a rebate on the current style that we have, and for a very lowered cost, we can update the current ones we have in our trucks, so we're pursuing doing that. And Mike McGregor is spearheading that. He's very good at dealing with electronics because that is nothing. Training has also, again, in the forefront. We've got several of our guys going to EMT classes, and to some fire trainings that have been going on. And then within the next year, of the seven, soon to be eight full-time firefighters that we have on our department, four of us are advanced EMTs. That level of certification, by the state requirement, we either had to go back to training and almost become paramedics, or drop back down to basic EMTs. Well, the four of us have decided that we are not going to pursue going up to the paramedic level or close to the paramedic level. We're going to become basic EMTs, which our department is certified anyway. It's a long story. So anyway, we're going to drop our level certification back down to the basic level instead of pursuing the higher level. The sprinkler fitters came in and spoke to me in reference to, they have a training in Plymouth on the May 24th at 8 a.m. which is a Saturday, and it's going to be open to our entire county. And what it'll do is it'll give us a little bit more training on sprinkler systems and what we need to know about sprinkler systems and NFPA 25 and how it pertains to the inspection of systems when they install them in our city limits. So there'll be several of us attending that training in Plymouth. On May 21st, there is a chief's meeting in which they want to go to the Chiefs Association and talk to them about having a county fire training where we would have hopefully free CPR to the community, a side-by-side fire demonstration, fire extinguisher refills, things like that. So hopefully at that time we can plan the county fire day. I was directed at the last, I'm sorry, was it the last one or the time before?
It was the last one. It's just been a while since we had.
About the deer population. Kelly and I have been speaking with, we've gotten as high as the deer research biologist. And I thought I had this pretty much under done and ready to make a presentation and our letter to you and tell you our findings, but I
think there's a few more things I want to research before I give your findings. Basically, to get to sum it up, you have to have, for our protection or for your protection, you want to have your ducks in a row. If we don't know that there are a serious deer in the room, if you don't know that there is a serious deer problem, setting up any kind of a calling would just not be good. And so we want to make sure that if we do have a serious deer population problem, which I'm not sure we do, I'm not saying we do or don't, I think that we just need to do our diligence to make sure. So I have told the mayor on a couple of occasions what my findings were, and I just want a little bit more time.
I'm an animal lover, so
right,
it's not good.
Well, that was the point, though, to find out what the population and health of our deer herd was to see if it was an issue.
Right, and he said that they're talking to the deer research biologist. You have to have one of four goals. You want your urban forest to regenerate, and there's four levels of urban forest. There's a whole big scenario. You look at that if that's your goal. Are you looking at, because we're having hard deer accidents, is the problem that we're having complaints from citizens? I forget what the fourth reason for having a call was, but there's four different reasons you'd have a call. And so with that being said, I don't know which category we want to focus and look and see if we have a problem with. The actual, every forest is different, and the carrying capacity of each forest is different. So you'd really have to have one of the four main things to really look at to see if you have a problem. So
maybe I don't understand. Wouldn't it be easier to determine what the population is and then see if it meets one of those four criteria, as opposed to taking the criteria and seeing if your deer herd meets that population?
You can do the deer population thing, but there is no given carrying capacity for a set period of or section of ground, because you may have more oak trees on one, which produces more feed for the deer than you would on another section of the ground. So carrying capacities can vary depending on what your forest holds. So
I am exhausted by this conversation. I'm not trying to diminish what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, Bill. To me, it seems like what I hear you saying, though, Tom, is frankly that at the moment you're not sure we have enough justification to go forward in a calling situation.
That is correct.
Right?
Matter of fact, I'm leaning towards the fact that I don't think that we have sufficient enough research to support such a calling.
And I guess I'm trying to figure out how in the world you would even wrap your arms around what a deer population would be in the city limits. How would you even try to start doing that?
According to this gentleman, some cities have paid helicopters this time of year when the leaves are off to go around and do a numeric count of the deer in
a re-election
section.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're there.
Wow.
The third shift officers could give you a pretty good count.
You know, that is the second greatest idea of crapping away money, second to the trout putting in and then having a fishing derby that they won't be able to.
Since the fact that I have alluded to you, since the fact that I've alluded to you that I don't think we're there yet.
Right. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your research on that, because it sounds like it's a lot bigger of an issue than what we thought it was. I mean, not the issue, but it's a bigger deal of setting up a system or a situation like that than what just going out and having a hunt.
Right.
Spread out among the city and get those deer.
Now, with that being said, starting this year, there are grants that are available to cities for doing such counts. But I, again, don't think we're quite there yet.
Okay.
In reference to Tim talking about your ammunition and having a place to shoot, you might contact Omni Stores. They had a house that they were getting ready to demolish that might be available for you. Before I forget, April 3rd are the fire department interviews for our full-time in our process. We're down to three applicants. The Board of Works will be interviewing those three applicants on April 3rd.
Indeed. Questions of Tom, preferably not about deer.
Please.
No way.
Thank you, Tom. Marcia.
Nothing.
Rosie.
Nothing.
Okay. Jackie?
Nothing.
Okay. NDOT meeting today. Found out today that the State Road 9 / Main Street project is actually going to take place in 2016, not this year. However, next year, in 2015, they will be, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're going to be repaving or microsurfing. They're not surfacing. They're not sure which one. From Larwell to Main Street, basically, right? 2015? And then 2016, they'll be doing from Main Street to County Line Road, US 30. But Main Street itself, they are going to be working on Main Street in 2016, 205 in that same time frame, I think.
Well, they were going to try to dovetail whatever our project.
Right, with our 205 project, they were going to continue on.
2020.
Yeah. So, and also we addressed, we talked about battery backup system for 205 and Lincoln Way. Good, very good, positive discussion about that. We should be moving forward soon, hopefully, on that in that regard. So that was good. Appreciate Commissioner Shrump going with us today, and I know they had some issues. We talked pretty in depth about the US 30 thing and the bypass, and we were kind of, I think it's a fair statement to say we are reassured by the district that they would probably be more apt to add lanes than to build bypasses or overpasses. So, just something for informational purposes. As Tom had said, we're working on fire interviews that will be coming up on the 3rd. That will be a department, excuse me, that will be a Board of Works situation with Tom. And trying to think of what else is going on. Oh, going to send out a press release tomorrow, I think, or tonight, we'll see. Either way, as you all know, our water superintendent is retiring here probably in the next month. Date is kind of in flux at the moment, but long story short is we went through an interview, application interview process, and I've selected Mike Shoda to take over as our new water superintendent. He will be starting April 7th. He comes to us from the town of Bourbon, which is in Marshall County, over near Plymouth, and he currently is the water and wastewater superintendent over there. He actually lives here in Columbia City, so he has some good local ties. He used to be on the volunteer fire department, and so we look forward to welcoming Mike on board, and Mike and Mike will be working together in transition time. So that's kind of the, I guess, the biggest news. Youth Council member is not here tonight. I'm not sure exactly where he's at, but Youth Council met this last, met on the 19th, and actually Brooke joined us a little bit, by the way. If you've not met Brooke, Brooke is my intern until May 30th, July, June 1st, whatever. Brooke is a senior at Columbia City High School. But Brooke joined us. We did, gosh, I'm trying to think of what we did do. We did a tour of the county offices. Dan helped out a lot there, kind of showed the GIS perspective. We went to all of the different assessor and treasurer and auditor and recorder and all of those offices in the city government building. We did not go downstairs. That was not an option for us because of their flooding woes. But long story short is had a really good opportunity there, and that afternoon we came back and did some business. And finally, as you well know, my wife is due to have our first child potentially on tax day. The reason I bring that up is not for a celebration, but instead just to let you know. Obviously, I'm going to be taking 2 weeks off for paternity at the end of this month, the 14th, tentatively, week of the 14th, week of the 21st. During that time period, I'll still be somewhat available, but as you well know, that's kind of important. So I'll be there But just so you know, those dates could shift depending on if she goes into labor early or later. I've informed my department heads of that. After that, what we've coined as a daddy day will be taking place about once a week, where I'll be working administratively from home, emails, calendar stuff, appointments, phone calls, all that kind of good stuff that I can do both there or at the office. So I appreciate your flexibility in regards to that. We've got a lot of change coming. So that's all I got. Dan?
Nothing, sir.
Nicole?
Nothing.
Bill?
Nothing.
Really? You guys have nothing?
Press. I'm going to retouch on the deer again.
Okay.